Hi, and welcome to the Psychology Sisters podcast.
Just two besties on a quest to normalise the dialogue around mental health. I'm Kat, a registered psychologist.
And I'm Amy, a registered psychotherapist. In our episodes, we combine our skills, professional and personal experiences with a light sprinkling of science and a dabble of fun to help you to become informed, in control and empowered.
Now, let's dive deep into today's episode.
You made her catch you? I don't know how I let this happen. The girl next door, you know? I don't know what to do.
So it wasn't you.
All right. Honey came in and she got me red-handed, creepy with the girl next door. Picture this, we were both butt naked, banging on the...
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode. Today is very, very special because we have our resident sex therapist, Manya, back.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for having me back.
Welcome back.
Oh, I'm back and I'll keep coming.
Again and again. So today we got a very interesting episode, a very saucy episode. I mean, I feel like last time you were in, it was very juicy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think today's will be even juicier. So today we are talking all things infidelity. So before we jump into that, of course I need to add pit and peak. Amy, what was your pit and peak of the week?
So my pit and peak of this week is that, so my pit is I've had a really tricky week with clients. I've had some really complex cases that have been very delicate to juggle. And my peak is that it's now the weekend and I get some rest and relaxation and I get to recharge before going back to work on Monday.
Very politically correct pit and peak. Manya. Spotlight's on.
Well,
peak of the week.
My peak definitely has to be tonight. I'm hosting a sex toy party. Mm-hmm. And I'm really excited about that. And
so am I.
We are currently actually sitting in Manya's living room the hour before the sex toy party starts. And we are surrounded by butt plugs. We're surrounded by clitoris.
Sperm.
We're surrounded by sperm.
There are penis cookies.
Penis cookies.
Vulva cookies. There's everything. I've decked it out and it's been a lot of fun. So
it's very sexy.
You guys could see through the microphones what it's looking like. So very excited for that, Manya. Yeah. Thank you for having us in your little place.
No worries. Thanks for bringing all the podcast stuff out. So I guess my pit would just have to be... I saw a lot of clients this week. Mm. I saw close to 40 clients somehow in the week. So, yeah, it was just a lot. And it's that red flag of, well, this is a little bit too much. Be mindful of it. So, good reminder, but glad it's over.
Oh, my gosh. What a week. Are you feeling tired today?
I am tired, but I'm okay because I'm excited about recording this podcast and then the party. And, yeah, so... Excitement.
Like you need a bit of downtime tomorrow.
I will. Don't worry.
Maybe a mental health day later on. My pit and peak. I have had actually a really great week. I am just struggling with my time management for working full time, doing podcast stuff, editing, and planning a wedding. I'm finding I'm someone who really needs balance in my life, but I'm really struggling at the moment. But my peak is that it is almost, it's feeling like summer at the moment, and I love summer. I'm feeling a lot happier. I've noticed my clients are a lot happier. It's just life after work and just feeling happy.
Alrighty, we will jump straight into it. Manya, tell me the definition of cheating and also types of cheating, so emotional, physical, etc.
All right, let's start with the definition of cheating. So when I talk to someone about cheating, I kind of use it in the sense that cheating is anything that violates the norms of that relationship. So for some people, having a third party or multiple partners wouldn't be considered cheating, but going on a date with that person would be considered cheating.
Mm-hmm.
So there is so many different forms of cheating, but it's the simplified, at its simplest form, it is anything that violates the norms of that relationship. So,
or the spoken agreement between the couple or between whoever the relationship involves. You'll obviously have, you know, you'll be aware of what the expectations are around what you agree or decide to be cheating on. And it's anything that, I guess, betrays that spoken agreement.
Yeah, Very nicely summarized.
And do you find that when the boundaries aren't put in place, is that when things start to get a bit blurred?
So lines do get blurry, but I'm yet to have someone come and say, oh, I didn't really cheat. Most people are pretty clear cut, like, yes, I have cheated. I have done something wrong. Or, yeah, I cheated, but it's not wrong for whatever reason. But most people kind of know when they've crossed that boundary. So as we said, there are so many different forms of cheating. Mm. So something that people don't consider is financial cheating. So if you're spending money on someone else, that could be violating the norms of that relationship because you guys might be saving for a house. Mm. And so spending money on someone else for another activity could be classed as cheating. There is physical cheating. So anything with like physical contact. Mm. There's emotional cheating, which is more of that
establishing a connection with someone else.
Yeah. Mm. And also spending time with someone can be a little bit of emotional cheating. So there's a lot of different types of cheating.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's important to consider too, there are lots of different ways, or we've spoken about love languages before. Mm. So I think that's especially true for if you say have a love language like quality time or gift giving, and your partner is either financially cheating with someone else or spending a lot more time with mm-hmm. someone else, those are obviously going to push buttons with your partner that they're going to be a lot more sensitive yep. or vigilant to as
yeah.
well.
Yeah.
Have you had any experience, I mean, in terms of the emotional versus physical, do you feel like there is a gender difference between, you know, for example, I'm thinking of a stereotype, women are more likely to emotionally cheat, whereas men are more likely to physically cheat?
So the research has actually shown that there is a gender difference in it. And it is that kind of stereotype that men are more likely to have a physical relationship and women are looking for that emotional relationship. Another interesting gender difference comes with males. When researchers found when they cheat, they're often very quick to justify it as the right thing to do in that situation.
Mm.
Whereas women don't tend to do that as much.
Mm. And interestingly, when we speak about gender difference, and although it can seem to be a little bit stereotypical, women are often more vigilant to emotional signs of cheating
yes.
than they are to physical. So generally speaking, a woman might notice signs of emotional cheating more than she would physical signs or financial signs of cheating.
Yeah.
And vice versa. So males often will notice things like physical touch more than they will notice emotional signs of cheating.
Yes. Yeah. So it's almost...
it's like almost ingrained, isn't it? It's yeah. because...
are they more primed to it, do you think?
Possibly. I think maybe because, in my personal experience, I've noticed that someone who maybe towing the line or doing some things that, you know, might not be
to the norms
to the norms of that relationship, they were more vigilant to those things in my behavior.
Mm.
So maybe that is kind of similar for that instance as well. Maybe because women are more, I guess, emotionally driven, they're more primed to notice.
To seek it out,
yeah.
I've also seen with couples that I've worked with, a woman can often get over or move through the pain of a physical intimacy faster than if there was an emotional connection. So if it was kind of like a random one night stand type of situation where versus like an ongoing friendship, like that emotional connection is the harder part to move through than the actual physical acts.
Definitely. You hear that a lot, don't you?
Mm.
And I feel like one of the main questions that get brought up when you're working with couples who are navigating through cheating or betrayal is, did you love her? Did you have feelings for her?
Yeah.
How long was the affair? Or how long did the betrayal last?
For some people. Other people also ask, you know, what actually happened? Yeah. Did you do this? Did you make them climax? Did you do this particular sexual act? Is it because I don't do this sexual act?
Yeah.
And would that be the same for men? I mean, this might be extremely simplistic, but would maybe men feel more vigilant or more concerned if their female partner had a physical relationship as opposed to an emotional one.
So that's what the research has shown, so that women are more focused on that emotional cheating and men are more focused on that physical. And I've also seen a lot of times when it's really hard for a man, in my experience, to overcome that physical intimacy.
Isn't that interesting? Have you guys heard of micro cheating?
Yes,
we have.
So micro cheating is a series of seemingly small actions that indicate a person is emotionally or physically focused on someone outside their relationship. So examples can include texting someone without your partner's knowledge, saving someone under a fake name in your phone, or lying about the status or downplaying the status of your relationship to others. Have you noticed, Manya, in your experience that couples perhaps do engage in micro-cheating, and has that been an issue?
So micro-cheating, I find, is kind of like a beginner. Like, it's the starting. It's where people kind of test the waters. I haven't personally worked with anyone who's come in purely just for the micro-cheating aspect. It's more, it's led to something further.
It's almost like this covert, sneaky flirtation. And I think a really important thing to ask yourself, if you are someone who maybe feels like they are micro cheating or you're not sure whether you are towing the line of the boundaries of your relationship, is ask yourself if your partner had experienced, you know, you talking to that person or, you know, you DMing each other, would you still have done it if they were there? I think that's a really, really good way to see whether, you know, there is any shame or guilt in your actions, and a really good way to get insight into what you're doing and how it might be affecting your partner as well.
Yeah,
definitely. And I think secrecy is a big part of cheating or an infidelity. I think, you know, you're doing something that's wrong when you have to keep it a secret or when you don't want to tell your partner.
So, Manya, in your experience, why do people cheat?
People cheat for a number of different reasons. The big one that people think of is that the relationship wasn't okay, that there was something missing in a relationship. Now, people don't just cheat because a relationship isn't working. People also need an opportunity to cheat. They need someone else to cheat with, generally. And if that person isn't there, then they can't cheat. They also, personal values is another factor about that influences why people cheat. So for some people, they're very much against cheating and would never kind of think about putting themselves in that situation, whereas other people can kind of justify it in the right circumstances and the right situations, and so they're a little bit more lax on it. So it's not just that someone's not happy in a relationship.
And I also wonder if cognitive dissonance would come into this, Manya. I mean, as people, we're so good at justifying all of our actions.
Yes.
And so I wonder if that plays into it a little bit, whether it's a premeditated thought or whether it's just there's an opportunity. I wonder how much of that uncomfortableness and that, you know, that really straying from your values and morals of the cognitive dissonance would come into it.
Yeah. I've heard people kind of say, you know, I've cheated once, I may as well keep going.
Or the relationship wasn't good anyway, so
it was going to.
They weren't feeling my needs, so.
Yeah. So it's definitely interplayed and, yeah.
Another, I guess, I look at cheating through the lens of attachment theory. So people who are avoidantly attached may look elsewhere when they're feeling smothered or suffocated in a relationship. And so it's much less about connection and even romance, and it's more about escaping the relationship and avoiding a stifling relationship from their perspective, and more about going even for entertainment, fun and freedom. And in contrast, those that are ambivalently attached or have an anxious attachment will cheat when they feel like their emotional needs aren't being met. So they will go elsewhere to look for that emotional connection and feel close to someone. So I think that's really interesting and important to mention too, is that obviously attachment theory is how we relate to people, and that definitely comes into play when we're talking about infidelity.
And also I want to add, from a neuropsychological perspective and also I guess from an evolutionary perspective, I wonder if cheating is a function of the reward system. I mean, if you are putting yourself out there and you're, you know, dipping your toe in the water and you're getting attention back, like if you're getting that reciprocal attention from somebody else, then I can imagine that your dopamine would be at an all-time high. You're getting rushes of excitement, of mystery, of secrecy. Your reward system would be lighting up because you're putting yourself out there and you're getting a good feeling when someone likes you back or is showing you attention back. So I can imagine that cheating is addictive because you're getting that rush of dopamine. You're getting that, you know, I wonder if there's oxytocin involved as well, and you're getting that reward. And as humans, it is in our biology, it is inherently ingrained to seek out reward and to seek out pleasure. Okay, so you guys asked us a lot of questions when we put the Q&A up on Instagram. So we have written them down and we will be going through them now with Manya.
Put me on the hot seat, why don't you?
Manya's just totally improving this.
So she's doing very well.
She's killing it. Okay, can you come back from cheating? And how do you come back from cheating?
So you can definitely come back from cheating, but I'm not going to put it in nice terms. It's fucking hard, really, really hard. But it can make a relationship super strong because when you work through cheating, you have to focus on communication and you have to really build that trust up again. And that can be something that has consequences for your whole relationship. So you can.
Definitely. I totally agree with that. And I think coming back from cheating also kind of shows you in the relationship that you can overcome other obstacles in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, having communication, having transparency with each other definitely helps to rebuild trust after a betrayal. So how do you talk to your partner about suspicions of cheating?
Okay, so this is the one where it kind of goes, oh, I think my partner's cheating, and when I raise it, they think that I'm crazy, or they say that I'm crazy. You're not crazy. Yeah, something's making you feel this way. So a really good thing is to actually acknowledge, I feel like you're cheating because you're doing this. Yeah, what's going on? Yeah, know that when they're saying that you're crazy, you're not crazy. These are your feelings and they're valid, and it's important that you talk about it. Yeah.
Okay, I've got another question. Is the statement once a cheater, always a cheater have any truth to it?
This is
such a tricky question.
I don't believe so because
people cheat for all different reasons. Yeah.
And people change. Yeah, and every relationship is different, and what might happen in one relationship won't happen in another. And I don't think it's as simple as just because someone's cheated, they're going to cheat again. I don't think it's that definitive. I think when someone has cheated, it's showing you that they have personal values, or they had personal values at that time that were more open to cheating, but that doesn't mean that they're still there. So
Very nicely put.
Thank you.
So should you take your partner back if they've cheated?
It depends. Good old psychologist sitting on the fence here. But it really depends. It's important to kind of know, what do you want? Do you want to take them back? Are you ready to kind of put in the hard work? Because even though you're the one who's been cheated on, it's still going to be a lot of hard work for you because you're the one that has to get trust back in them. And that's a really scary thing to do when you've been hurt.
And you can't quickly get trust back, can you?
No.
Unfortunately, I guess trust, you know, it does take a lot of time to build. And I think for people who have either done the betraying or have experienced the betrayal, I think there might be this urgency to want everything to go back to normal as quickly as possible. But unfortunately, that doesn't always happen, and that's something that I guess a couple will have to sit through and build that trust up again really slowly.
And the thing is, I talk about when you meet someone on the street, you have this assumed level of trust that they're not going to hurt you, they're not going to randomly punch you. And then as you start to get to know them, you add more and more trust. When someone's hurt you, you lose all trust. So they're, in a sense, they're less than a random on the street. Like, you trust someone on the street more than you trust your partner at that time. And that's something that you kind of have to acknowledge and go, okay, how are we going to build up this trust? What do I need to start to trust you again?
And there is no right amount of time to build that trust, and it's different for everyone. Also, depending on the nature of the breakup, if the couple breaks up or family and friends, perception of the relationship can definitely come into play and make this situation very difficult.
Oh, yeah.
So your friends and family care about you and they love you. They don't see what your relationship is like behind closed doors. They don't share all those personal, intimate moments that you have with your partner that makes you love them. They just see you and how hurt you are, and they might have really strong opinions on what you should do in regards to.
Which can be quite lonely. I mean, imagine feeling like you can't turn to your friends and family out of fear of judgment, and yet you're still struggling with this huge betrayal from your partner. I mean, I can imagine that's a really isolated, lonely place to be stuck at. And who do you turn to?
It can be really good to go and speak to a mental health professional at that time, because they're not going to judge you whether you go back or you go back and you want to leave again, or whether you leave straight away.
And that's a really important thing to mention, is if you decide to go back, you're allowed to change your mind.
Yes, because I talk about this, that it's you're choosing in that moment to go back, but 3 months down the track something else might have happened, or your feelings are still there and you feel like the trust hasn't moved forward. Like, you're allowed to make a new decision at that point in time and not change your mind, because it's not changing your mind, you're making a new decision.
And anger and frustration and rage and jealousy and that's like a roller coaster. It's not just going to go away one day. I mean, it can resurface at any time, whether it's triggered or not from something. And after 3 months, you don't just think, okay, well, I shouldn't be feeling like this, I'm going to start being happy.
Nope.
It can come back for so many different reasons and at so many different times. And that's okay.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So we have another question. Is it possible that people cheat because their partners fail to meet their needs?
No. Well, yes. But
their interpretation could be that their partners,
A person cheats for their reasons, And when you've been cheated on, it is not your fault. You haven't done anything wrong, and that's something really important that you hear, Your partner might say, oh, well, you know, this relationship didn't have enough sex or love in it, but you're not the one who stepped outside of the relationship, You've done everything right. Your partner should have talked to you. It should have been addressed, but you haven't done anything wrong. Now, the person who has cheated might feel like, you know, their needs weren't getting met, but that doesn't mean that their partner was doing anything wrong.
It doesn't justify their actions.
No, it doesn't justify. So you haven't done anything to make your partner cheat. Even no matter what they say.
If you've cheated, how do you talk to your partner about this?
First off, I really want to say well done for wanting to talk about this. This isn't something that's easy, and a lot of people feel like, you know, why should I tell them? It will only hurt them and I'll be a bad person and I don't want to cause that much pain to my partner. And, you know, whatever you've chosen to tell your partner, it's something that you should be proud of, because it's a hard thing to do, and it takes a lot of guts to do it. So well done. Now, in terms of some tips for managing the conversation, or I should say conversations, because it's never just one conversation, understand that you're opening Pandora's box and it's not something that you can close the lid on again. It's something that you've opened up, and now you have to work through it, whatever's coming flying at you.
Definitely. I think one important thing to mention here is, and I learned this when I was doing clinical placement with you, is that when there has been a betrayal or infidelity, the betrayer is at a completely different stage of the process than the person finding out. They've already gone through the whole process of accepting and acknowledging the situation, and now they've come to terms with, okay, I'm ready to tell my partner.
Yeah.
When their partner's just found out, they're right at the beginning.
Yeah. And so it's that kind of notion of one person's on a mouse wheel running in circles going, what the hell's going on? Where's this come from? And another person's like, yeah, let's go. Let's start this new relationship and like, let's be as strong as possible. So it's really important to know that when you're telling your partner that you're going to have to sit in that mouse wheel and answer some questions and sit with them and hear the shit and hear their feelings, because they're still working through it.
Yeah, and be prepared for some big reactions.
You know what I've noticed as well, just a little bit unrelated pattern that I've noticed, is that the betrayer
if they want to break up with their partner, they'll generally want to tell them about the betrayal. But if they want to stay with their partner, they generally won't want to tell them. What are your thoughts on that?
I've seen that with friends, but I've also kind of seen that people talk about the cheating because it's that acknowledgement of the person who's cheated sees it as that kind of eye-opening moment of, hey, I actually really want this relationship, but the fact that I'm cheating means that something isn't working. Let's address it and work on it because you're the person that I want. And yes, I know that I've stuffed up, but let's work on it. So I've seen that with friends that kind of they won't tell if they want to keep the relationship. But in practice, I've seen a lot of people telling because they actually want to keep the relationship. Mm. So
I've experienced both, as in I've had friends tell me both sides. I had one friend say, well, if I want to marry this person, I need to be 100% honest and tell them about my infidelity. And I've also heard another friend say, well, no, I want to be with this person, so I won't tell them because I don't want to put them through the pain. When really, I think it was more about, I don't want to tell them because then there's a chance that they might not want to be with me and I really want to be with them.
That's an avoidance move, isn't it? I mean, it's almost like, it's like that person just wants to sweep it under the rug and move forward because it's the feelings of uncomfortableness and guilt and shame might be too much to process. So it's like just avoiding it and sweeping under the rug. And I wonder how that would play out long term. I mean, if you never told them, I'd be curious to know how that plays out, you know, 5, 10 years down the track if you don't tell them.
Sometimes even 20 years down the track, it happens.
Or does everyone experience guilt and shame with infidelity?
No. No, not everyone. Yeah, some people are like, it happened and they just move on and they don't feel anything. So, and that's okay as well.
Or maybe they do, but they then don't want to, like they've hit it down so far that they're not ready, they don't want to deal with it.
And I've seen people that are very much like, you know, it happened. It's nothing. Mm. It just happened. Like I take a breath, it happened almost.
Mm. Or maybe they don't even recognize it as infidelity or betrayal. Like you said, it's just something that happened.
It could be a point that they're not putting the onus on that. It's broken the norms of the relationship or something like that. Yeah,
It's more of just a neutral, oh, this happened.
Okay, I have another question. How can we best recover from being cheated on and then leaving them? For example, going through ambiguous grief and loss.
So you're talking about how do you kind of process the cheating once you've left the relationship to make sure that you've worked through it before your next relationship?
Absolutely, yeah.
So first off, kind of acknowledging that they didn't cheat because of you. Mm-hmm. It's their problem, not yours. You know, it can be reflecting on why you are an amazing partner and how committed you were. Also reevaluating, why did it hurt? You know, was it the fact that it hurt because there was the lie behind it, or did it hurt because there was that emotional connection or that physical intimacy? Where was that hurt coming from? And try and see if you need to readjust what you want in your next relationship.
I wonder if I'm just trying to think, if I had this person as a client, what would that say about them if to have someone cheat on them? For example, does that mean that they're a bad lover? Does it mean that they aren't attractive? Does it mean that they're not desirable? Does it mean that they have poor judgment? I mean, I'm just thinking from a CBT model, that would be a really interesting question to ask them, because, you know, it would start to challenge those negative or limiting self-beliefs.
And knowing that you are amazing just the way you are. And if someone wants to cheat, it doesn't mean that it has anything to do with you. It's them cheating, not you forcing them to cheat or anything like that.
Yeah. Okay, so is cheating black and white?
No. There are so many shades of grey when it comes to cheating, purely because every relationship has different definitions of what cheating is. So there is no kind of one answer of this is cheating.
Infidelity is really complex, isn't it?
It is. It really is. There's also situations where couples or, you know, a polyamorous relationship and their definitions of cheating in that relationship, it's just such a complex issue that people really need to talk more about. What are the norms of this relationship? What do we define as cheating in this relationship?
Yeah, so I remember you saying you've said this before, in the early stages of dating someone, asking the questions, how do you feel about me liking other people's photos on Instagram?
Yeah.
Or how do you feel about me spending time with other men, women, etc.?
Yeah.
And just so it's all out on the table, just so you have that transparency and open communication and the expectations are there ahead of time.
Yeah. And the thing is, often when you're first dating, you ask a lot of really kind of random questions anyway. So it can be a really a question that you can slip in there that
along other things
that can provide a really good base foundation conversation.
Because what works for you, what you're okay with, your partner might not be okay with. For example, if you don't mind your partner hugging the opposite sex, or you know, you don't mind them talking to members of the opposite sex, that's okay. But that doesn't automatically mean that they have to be with you, okay with you doing the same, you hugging the opposite sex as well.
Well, exactly.
Really establishing boundaries. It can be a pretty awkward conversation as well, but it is a conversation that's much needed.
Prickly conversations, but important to have.
One of the previous questions was about, you know, once a cheater, always a cheater. This can be, you know, if someone's disclosed cheating in the past, you can kind of talk about, you know, what was going on for you that time, like, and kind of gauge if their personal values have changed and, you know, suss it out.
Yeah. And another, this just popped into my head. How comfortable are you if your current partner or the person that you're currently dating is friends with their exes?
Mm.
I know sometimes that can come up and ruffle a few feathers.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's important too, to kind of discuss and
establish
the boundaries around that as well.
And if you can't have the awkward conversations now, how are you going to have the awkward conversations later on down the track?
All right, guys, I think that's all the time we have today. So thank you so much for writing in, and hopefully that was helpful in some way. Obviously, we don't know your story and we are not your mental health professional, so we can't offer you personalized psychological advice. But I hope that was helpful and gave some insight as well. Manya, thank you so much for letting us in your house, and thank you so much for coming in. We love having you.
No worries.
Yeah, thank you for coming on our podcast again. We love having you.
I love being here.
Stop it. So we are off to enjoy Manya's sex toy party.
Woohoo! Yay.
All right, guys, we will catch you next episode.
Bye.
Thanks so much. Bye. Thank you so much for listening. If you love this episode or you know someone who might, we would love you to share this with them. If you want to see more, please follow us on our Instagram at The Psychology Sisters.
Please note, the content shared in this episode is for educational and general informational purposes only and does not replace personalised advice and support from a mental health professional. See you next episode for more spicy science and sexy self-help.